You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Now, God and Father, thank you for your word again, and help us even now, in Christ's name, amen. In our exercise to renew our study in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, we are just rehearsing a couple of things so that when we get there, you'll be a little more comfortable with where it's going. And now, having said that, and we shared in Jeremiah chapter 1 that Jeremiah was chosen by God, and God knew him, formed him, every cell in his body, for the eyes, the ears, the nose, the mouth. God made all those cells, God let them all happen, and put in him and gave him the person, soul, and spirit inside. And Jeremiah reminds us that God is the creator and the savior. And his assignment was to go and to deal with Jerusalem and Judah in the days of Josiah, etc. And we did that kind of thing. Jeremiah was given an assignment to go and deliver God's word to the people. And in the process, he reminded God, or tried to, that he had no way on earth to communicate, A, the words, and B, to communicate with the authority of God, whose words they were. So how can he give God's word, except God has to give it because he's the authority, he's the author? And we did that together, and we discovered that God, John chapter 17, I should say. And in John chapter 17, now as we start this again, reminding you that Matthew 23 and all of that, that the Lord Jesus reminded the Israel, Jews, that they were the ones that killed the prophets. To be a prophet was, prophets are raised up to deal with the heart of a people that aren't in tune with God. And they need to be awakened, they need to be quickened, they need to be corrected. And the prophet was raised up, if they were doing things rightly, they won't need prophets. But when they are out not, then you need someone speaking up and warning them, etc., exhorting them. And so now, that's the prophet's assignment, to deliver those words. But we've discovered that our unique position as a believer in the age of grace, church age, even now, that the Word became flesh, John 1:17, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, John 1:1, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word is God. So God, the Word, the prophets never had that. The Word became flesh, permanently in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross so that he could have a unique relationship to us in a very unique way. So when we receive the Lord as our Savior, we aren't like prophets. Prophets given, encouraged, strengthened, do the job and that's it. We aren't like that. God, the Word that's moved all these prophets, is the authority for all these prophets, resides in the believing heart. That's different than prophets. That's quite different than the prophets. And to boot, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. In our heart, we received him as our Savior. And what did he do? He brought the words of God by way of the Father. He brought the words of God, the Word of God brought the words of God into the heart of the believer. That's quite different than the prophets. Uniquely different. Now you want to capitalize on that. In John chapter 17, Gospel of John chapter 17, may I go to verse 8. This is in the upper room, the prayer before our Lord in his perfect humanity, before he goes out to the garden to crucifixion. Chapter 17, verse 8. For I have given them unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known them, and known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And then please note the little statement. I have given them the words from my Father. He's the word you received as your Savior. And when he comes in, he has all what? The words. Over to verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So there comes the problem. Because the believing heart is bringing the word, God, and the words of God, like the prophets, what did they do to the prophets? They killed them, among other things. They don't want prophets. They don't want to hear such language, such authority. And therefore, God said, they're going to hate me. They're going to hate you. You have to understand why. You're delivering something that they don't want to hear. In an authority, not just without the, oh God, there is no authority for this. Understand that. I could just mumble up here for 20 days if I could think of something to say. And there is no authority to that. None whatsoever. I could have the nicest lesson in 7 points, and there's no authority to it. God makes the authority to this. Now, so therefore, keeping that in mind, your unique, wonderful position, our unique, wonderful position, and the Spirit of God makes possible this awesome relationship we're to have to God. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to what? Is to, well, you're right here, you don't have to work at it. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, said the Lord, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. So all the words, the Spirit of God's ministry is to bring all of the words, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, his personal work, and the wonderful message of the good news, the gospel, to bring all those words into focus so that they can be proclaimed in some form, in some fashion. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the Spirit of God's ministry, and one other place that will help us, over, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians. And we were there on Sunday, I think, but just to pick up again. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And just to remind us, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to deliver the Word, the words of Jesus Christ, the Word. So where are we going to get all the words? We're going to get the words from God, from his Word, which is why you have the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and remember we did it, this section, but just to not to do the whole thing again, but just sliding down to verse 10, but God hath revealed them, the words, the deep things of God. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And man knows man, that's, I'll read it, and for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And verse 12, note, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but received the Spirit which is of God, that purpose we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things, verse 13, also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. God's Word. And God's Word. That's why we look at God's Word in some detail and some try to read it, put it together. All 66 books are about one God and his wonderful saving grace. So, and the Spirit, that's why we're looking. So we're looking at the words of God. You receive the Lord as your Savior. The Spirit of God's ministry is to take that Bible in your hand, I hope, and make it real. Got it? You receive the Lord, I can do that. And I got the Bible. And the Spirit of God, what's your ministry? To make all of that real. To make all of it work. So it isn't up to me. They aren't my words. They aren't your words. They're God's words. And the Spirit of God is going to make them God's words. He's going to deliver that for you, for us. Now, so that's why we're looking. If I can now, keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful care and working out things as only he can. So go with me, please. Now, Jeremiah, we know Jeremiah. We read it last time. It's Wednesday. God has a terrible, it's a terrible, terrible thing he's going to go through. And it's a long ministry of difficulty, danger, and discouragement. But Isaiah, before him, 130 years or so before him, Isaiah went through the same thing. We read that also. Isaiah 6, Isaiah said, who shall I send? And Isaiah said to God, send me. And then God told him what he was going to do. Isaiah chapter 6, 8, 9, 10, 11. You're going to go to the city, to Assyria, among other places, Syria. And it's all those, all the, everything they got's going to become destruction, leveled. How many people are going to get saved? He didn't tell you anybody. Doesn't mean anybody didn't get saved. It's just they don't say. All it is nothing. You aren't going to have any, your ministry is going to be fruitless. You have nothing to put on the wall. You'll have nothing to show for your ministry after 40 years. You'll have nothing to show for it. Ezekiel, go with me there. Go to Ezekiel again, and in chapter 2. And in Ezekiel, and chapter 2, picking up if I can. And here's Ezekiel, all in the same time, they're all living, all looking down into Jerusalem at the same time. Ezekiel and chapter Ezekiel is going to be over in Babylon because he goes in the second trip when Nebuchadnezzar takes captives before he levels the city, and Ezekiel goes in that trip as captive. So, Ezekiel chapter 2 and in verse 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, and I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I sent thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. So what have we got in verse 4? And they are impudent, hard, as it were, hard-hearted, stubborn, children, stiff-hearted, I do send thee to them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. So, what do we know? Well, he's being sent to a people, Israel. They're God's people, but they're terrible. Are they going to, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, are you guys going to have any profit, any success, any encouragement? No, not hardly any. So therefore, sliding down if I can, in Ezekiel, verse 5, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, or listen or not listen, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. That's why God sent them. So there's no one can say there wasn't good news. There's Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and they're there with good news from God, if you would receive it. So no one can say you didn't care, God. God said, I warned you, and God always warns us. Mm. Now, verse 5. And whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know there hath been a prophet among them. Verse 6. Thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Keep hang on to this thought. Though briars and thorns be with thee, that's not a very present trip. Briars and thorns, that's what they did to the Lord. Thorns and his crown. Isn't very present. Think of Genesis 3:19. Thorns and briars. That's verse 18. They're going to have thorns and briars. That's what humans are going to have. You could have stuff, but sin is going to louse up everything. So the bugs and the weather and everything is going to make it very hard to have a Garden of Eden plant a paradise. Therefore, if I can, in the middle of verse 6 again, middle, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwelleth among scorpions, that's not very pleasant, spiders all over, if you don't like spiders, and they're scorpions. They aren't nice little spiders. They're scorpions. And be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak many my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. That's what they are. I got to finish it because it's helpful. But thou, verse 8, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious. Don't you rebel. I'm going to send you to someplace, but don't you back off. Stay with it, honor what I'm doing, going to do with you and in you. Be not thou rebellious like this, that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I shall give thee. Now, what's going to be the message? And when I looked, behold, my hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. Verse 10, what was the book? What was the message of the book? And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Not a very good book. And when you go, if you take to our Lord in Revelation 6, Revelation 5 and 5, and then 6, 5, who's going to open the seven seal book? What's in it? The whole tribulation is going to unfold. Misery, lamentations, and woe. Who's opening the book? The Lamb of God, the Word of God become flesh, is opening the book. For all those words to become real, that's what he's doing. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here's Jeremiah Go back over with me to Jeremiah now. And in Jeremiah, here we are looking. Remember, we just read, God said it clearly. Don't be afraid. Don't crawl in a corner. Don't try to hide under the bed. Don't be afraid. Don't be of them, of their words, of thorns and thistles and scorpions. Don't be afraid. What makes us different as a believer? You've received Christ as your Savior, the Word, and He brings within Himself all of the words of God. You understand? And that isn't a pleasant message to the unsaved world. It just isn't a pleasant message. That's what He brings. And He says, don't be afraid. That's why, without going back to John and that, you know, the world's going to hate you. They don't hate you. They hate what I've done for you. I have saved you. I have given you my word like a prophet, more than a prophet. I have given you my words. You have something that will drive them bananas. Now, therefore, back in Jeremiah, and now what do we, Jeremiah, God here, don't be afraid. Okay, that's our little half a thought. God, we don't want to be afraid. So therefore, Jeremiah, and chapter 1 may go to verse 17. 1 and 17. This is to Jeremiah now. Remember what he said to Ezekiel, make sure you deliver. Don't be afraid. Deliver my words. Now, saying it from a little, another different thing, from a speaker part, anyone can get up and read the Bible. We can all do that. We could all make a wonderful outline, perhaps, depending on your talent and your word usage. And you could do all of those things. And there's no problem. There are many. Think of the Jewish people who read the Old Testament with diligence, like the Pharisees of old. Think of all the people in teaching, schools, seminaries, colleges. Now, if we can teach all of that without ever connecting to God, you understand that, don't you? You don't need to connect to God to read the Bible or to bring a message. You don't need to do that. You don't need to do it. And it's easy. And people will accept that. Why do you think people have got rid of prayer meeting, got rid of evening service in many places? Things have all changed, and they're going downhill. They're going to get worse. It's a showtime. It's a worldly event. Religious worldly event, using the Bible. So all of that happens and is happening. And God, you've got to help us. So to overcome, and we have to understand, as we're looking at your word, you're going to deliver it. And when it happens, we're going to have to understand. I'll do it another way. You have, and I have, an old nature. We all got one from Adam. And when you really, really are going to claim God's word, going to really do it, you watch how your heart, you have to overcome your feelings, your fears, your faults, your thinking, and you have to do what? By faith, straight believe. By faith, boom. And boy, you know it. You're enjoying it, but you don't understand the what you had to do to just do that. You had to overcome. That's why it says, present. We just did it on Sunday, so important. You have to reckon yourself dead. crucifixion. Christ died. We did all this. And that's the key to doing this. You died. And when you're dead, people don't care about anything. Dead people don't worry about the rent. They don't worry about the disease. They don't worry about food. They don't worry about medicine. They don't worry about it. Relationships. No, they don't. They're dead. But when you won't do that, that is something to start doing that, reckoning yourself dead. Like Paul, in me dwelleth no good thing. And that's, how many of you got there? Have you got there? Well, you realize in me dwelleth no good thing. And the reality of it, that's awesome. That's an awesome, wonderful thing. But it's an awesome thing. How many believers do you think have got there? Not many believers have got there. They don't even want to think about it. Not Romans 7, 8. And me dwells no good thing. So, God, I'm trying to help you understand. God is saying, listen, if you go and do what I'm telling you to do and believe me and enjoy a saving, healthy, holy, happy relationship to me, you're going to have to understand that it's not going to be a picnic. It's a wonderful thing. But the world isn't happy, your flesh isn't happy, and the devil isn't happy. So you have to understand that. Now, if you want to comp like Nicodemus, he didn't want to bring up God because he would lose his job with the Pharisees. They want to lose his job. But if you're going to do the thing right, and that doesn't mean you're a pain in the neck to everybody in that way, people can believe what they want. I don't tell you what, believe whatever you want. People can. Believe you're a tomato. You're like, do whatever you want. Well, I said it to a little baby the other day. Little baby, I did. A little baby didn't care. I said, listen, it doesn't matter whether you're a boy or girl. What would you really like to be? You see, you don't have to be a boy or girl. Why don't you want to be, what do you want to be, That's a stupid thing. Because you have to be one or the other. Now, so therefore, God, my point, trying to make it. God said, you're going to have to honor me, verse 17. Now, therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee, Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. I'll embarrass you, Jeremiah, in front of them, if you don't do this right. You do it right. So that's what I'm just trying to tell you. You got to do it right, and you have to do it right. Verse 18, and for behold, I have made thee, what makes Jeremiah so different? I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, a brazen altar, iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the land. Boy, that's not me. Who's left? Who's left? No one. Verse 19. And they're going to love you. Is that what it says? They're going to fight you. That's what they're going to do. You're a prophet. You're delivering my message. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for... Why not? I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee, to rescue thee, to cause thee to have great victory. That's what I'm here for. So you don't have to worry, Jeremiah. And so we went down over, if you can now, in the light of that, over to Jeremiah chapter 11. And Jeremiah's whole hometown and an oath, that's about 6 miles north of Jerusalem, up there, 6 to 7 miles north. That's where he's a priest, Jeremiah is, priestly family. He's just an average nobody priest up there, and that's where he's from. Now, so, and he's given this assignment, and he has this assignment in Jerusalem, and now, is everybody happy that God has chosen him for such a wonderful position to be one of the great prophets of God's people? Oh, what a honor. We're going to have a special celebration parade for you. How did it come out? You know it. We did it, chapter 11. Jeremiah, we're speaking of it, is home. But, O Lord of hosts, O Lord of hosts, that judges righteously, that triest the reins of the heart, test them, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. In other words, I'm looking, God, to you, I'm doing the thing, and they are not happy. In fact, verse 21, therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anunoth, Lord, the men of Anunoth, that seek thy face, thy life, they're going to kill me, saying, prophets, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, and not thou, that thou die not by our hand. In other words, if you'll shut up, we won't kill you. How's that? That's his family. That's his hometown. Little town. You know everybody. We're going to kill you if you don't shut your mouth. What are you going to do? Verse 22. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and their sons and their daughters shall they die by famine. And verse 23, and there shall no remnant of them, not one person, one remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anunoth, even the year of their visitation. They're going to die, the whole bunch of them. So Jeremiah, how easy is it going to be? They're trying to kill me. What did you, God, you prepared him. They can't. You're a wall. You're a great iron wall. You're a fortress. You're impregnable. You can't get you. They can't touch you. I'm with you. So don't be afraid. Okay. But it seems so hard. You should be afraid, shouldn't you? Well, now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to chapter 15. And Jeremiah is getting flack. He's speaking, but he's getting a lot of flack from the people, remember? And he gets sort of discouraged, and God tells him to get back on track. Verse 19, therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. In other words, don't hunt people down. You let them do what they're going to do. You don't have to chase anybody. Verse 20, and I will make thee unto this people a fenced city, wall. That's what we just read in chapter 1. Brazen wall, they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why not? Here's the little same word, deliver. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Yeah, they aren't going to do anything. I'm with you. Hang on. Come together, I hope. Verse 31, 21. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So don't give all that. Just enjoy a unique relationship to God, and don't let anyone take away your joy. Don't let the world take away your joy, etc., etc. Now, so therefore, If I can, chapter 23. In chapter 23, picking up, if I can, in verse 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath mocked his word and heard it? Now remember that whole chapter as we did it is about the people. The people were prophets, false ones, messengers, scribes, teachers. They were bringing all kinds of wonderful news from God, but they never heard it from God. It has nothing to do with God, but they're saying it is from God. This good news of you're going to have peace, don't worry about Nebuchadnezzar. It's good news. It's from God. God tells us, and we did all of these things, remember. Now, having said that, where does that go? God said they never stood before me. If they stood before me, they wouldn't have that message. Now, chapter 23, or if I can, picking up, please, in verse 28. Chapter 23, 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? You throw away the chaff, you save the wheat, saith the Lord. And verse 20, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? My word is something else. Why? The Spirit of God is bringing the word of God. So it's God all the way. I'll do it another way. You'll catch it. At Mount Sinai, they didn't have, Moses wasn't talking. Moses didn't talk. God did. And they were all afraid of what? Remember Deuteronomy 5? They're afraid of dying. Are you going to argue with God? You say, I don't like the, you can rip the page right out. Throw it away. You don't get rid of God. You don't get rid of the page. You don't get rid of the truth. Do whatever you want. It's still true. And now you're going to challenge God? Challenge him. It's not a good move. And the world, that's what Armageddon is. The tribulation builds up to what? To go against God. That's a bad move. That's why in Psalm 2, when that happens, all the kings and God, in one of those wonderful places, and God laughs. And you could understand that, and you will, because you're going to be up when all that happens. And they're there. And to see, here we got this super rocket, the Chinese have and the Iranians have, and we got them. And God looks down and says, what are you going to do with those things, men? What are you going to do with them? Tell me. Well, remember Big Bertha in World War, you don't, World War One? You never know that. Big Bertha, that was the big German cannon. And it shot a shot 94 miles. Big Bertha could shoot 94 miles, a missile. Wow. Wow. How high are you going to have to go? You see. Wow. So my word, thy word, thy wonderful, wonderful word, God, there's nothing like it. No. So if you just get that little bit to understand that much, that God, don't back down, don't back away, don't be afraid. Over, if you would please, to the book of Ephesians. I'm moving now for back then to us. Ephesians, and in chapter 6. Ephesians, excuse me. Ephesians chapter 6, please, picking up in thought, if I may. Here's the great armor protection, which we make sure we have a full suit of armor on. Verse chapter 6, verse 10 down through 16, make sure you got the, verse 17, make sure you got the whole armor on in order to be able to stand and withstand. Otherwise, your flesh will get clipped. So you got to look to God. Now, in the process, verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, God's saving grace, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here's the Spirit of God is going to honor the person of Jesus Christ in you. The Spirit of God is going to take the words of our Lord Jesus said, when I came into your heart, I brought all of the wonderful words of God that in you. In the Bible, we're going to look at it on Sunday, amen. We're going to look at it together. All those words were brought to us so that they're finding my home in my heart. All of God's wonderful truths, all the reality of what he's doing. We operate from headquarters. All things that are happening in the universe, like we said the other day. And God is governing, outworking his wonderful plan and history out of your heart, as it were, making it all happen. And the headquarters is here in your heart in our Lord Jesus Christ. The word become flesh. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. All kinds of ways. You say it to me, God. Say it to us. You're triumphant in everything. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory, over and over, all kinds. To tell us what? Don't get caught up in the system. You have to understand where you are now, what you represent. Now, having said that, the word in verse 17, and the sword of the Spirit, what does the Spirit of God use? He uses the word of God. That's what he uses. In a most wonderful way, he uses the word of God. Now, you got that part? The sword of the Spirit of God. God, what are you going to use? I'm going to use the words of that book in front of you. I'm going to take the words of that book. I'm using them. But we use them. Ah, that's true. That's true. I'm trying to think of the next thought. Not really. God, here we are looking, and you're going to do, and you're going to outwork your word. And that's what you, so we enjoy the word, we believe it, we're to rest in it. But the reality of making it all work, all things work together for good. I can read that, you read that. Romans 8. God makes that work. Do you make it work? Do you make it work? You don't make it work. Who makes it work? God does. That's the Spirit of God's ministry. 1 Corinthians 2. It's his ministry to do that. Not my ministry, not your ministry. It's God's. Wonderful. That's a God, can you really be? He is. He is. I was with someone the other day, and they said, not very long ago, he said, God is awesome. Can God really be that big? Can God really be that like that? Just overwhelmed. But God, could this really be true about God? Yes, it is. In fact, it's more true and more than we can ever understand till we get there. And when we get there, that's what you're going to have to spend forever discovering. But how marvelous God is. That's what it's going to take. Wow, forever. So here we are in Ephesians, Hebrews. Hebrews, if I can, quickly. Hebrews in chapter 4. Sorry for delay. Chapter 4. Picking up, please. In chapter 4, may I go directly to verse 12. For the word of God is quick, living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, which is impossible. Only God could do that. Soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He can dissect and explore any thought you have to 1,000 ways, and everybody else's thoughts, and he has them all there. Wow. What is Hebrews 4:12? That's the sword the Spirit of God uses. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Verse 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest, made public, clear, plain, in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We have a unique relationship to God in a most awesome and wonderful way. And let me jump quickly over to Romans. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. That's what he does. And you read the Word of God and you believe it, and God makes it work. Your job is to believe it. You don't make it work. Are you going to sit down and figure out all those promises and how to do all that? The recipes, well, I believe them. A, B, C, D, it's the recipe. That's how it works. God, you do it. Romans in chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in verse 31. You know, I got to quit. I wish I had a couple more minutes, but it's gone. Over. Now, chapter 8, would you allow me to pick up, please, directly? Remember what's going to happen this is where verse 28, all things work together for good. Verse 29, you're going to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what we're going to be. We're going to be like him. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Except, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? All kinds of objections, all things don't work together for good. Okay. You aren't really going to be like a son. You aren't really going to be glorified. I mean, how do you know that? Let's argue about it, okay? We'll have a big argument. Wow. The church divided. Wow. Verse 31. What should we then say to these things? If God be for us on our behalf, who can come down against us? That's what he said. I am with you to deliver you. Believe me and go. I'm there. That's what I want you to do. And if God be for us on our behalf, and he is, and then, by the way, if we kept reading, what are you going to do? God's going to answer all the objections. You got a lot of objections about all things working together for good? I do. A lot of objections about being like Christ? I do. Being glorified? Oh, yeah. God said, well, let me help you. And then you go, and God said, let me take care of your objections quickly. And that's what he does. So that we're locked in. I am your defense. I am the one who rescues you. I am the one who puts out my hand. And when the other hand tries to grab you, I'll grab it. So they can't get you. They can't do any more than I want until I want it. They can't crucify Christ until it's time. They can't go after Jeremiah again until it's time. In God's time, everything is right. Otherwise, you have to wait. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. the word, the words in your heart if you're saved. The Bible that's in your hand is in Christ in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against them. Don't want to do that. You got it? It's an awesome thing.